Welcome to 30 Minutes of VOA Learning English, the voice of America's information service for people learning English. Join us now for our daily magazine show, As It Is, and other programs designed for English learners. Hello, and welcome to As It Is from VOA Learning English. I'm Mario Ritter in Washington.
And I'm Anna Mateo. In today's program, we bring you two stories about migrants in Italy who fled war and violence in North Africa and have safely arrived on Italian shores.
There are many important vocabulary words you will hear in these reports. These words will help you understand the issues facing refugees fleeing North Africa. You can then talk about them in English.
For example, to be traumatized means to be seriously upset in a way that leads to emotional problems. And a father figure is a man who is respected and admired like a father. Both of these words appear in the report on orphans arriving in Italy.
Thousands of immigrants have come to Europe by boat. Among them are girls and boys who made the trip without a parent or guardian. Some of these unaccompanied children have been sent overseas by relatives to earn money. Others are fleeing war or were orphaned, which means they lost both parents.
Reporter Henry Ridgewell is following the story of migrants in Europe. Jonathan Evans brings us his report.
Many teenage boys around the world dream of playing football for a beloved team, perhaps Barcelona or Chelsea. Boys who escaped from a civil war or survived dangerous trips at sea are no different. Some young migrants now live at a large old farmhouse in the mountains of Sicily. They play football for hours every day on the grounds of their temporary new home. To Americans, the game is called soccer. Alassane from the Ivory Coast made his trip during the winter months. He says 15 people died on the boat. His best friend, he adds, died in his own arms. He says, "It was so cold, so freezing. He hadn't eaten anything. We were lost at sea." 17-year-old Wata Ali from Ivory Coast lost both parents when he was little. As an orphan, he and his older brother moved around looking for work. They first traveled to Burkina Faso and then to Libya. In Libya, they got caught up in the civil war. He says his brother went out to work every day. He would come home now and then to eat and then go back to work. Then one day, he did not come back. Wata Ali says he and his friend decided to go to Italy. They saved their money and got on the boat. Danielle Catugno operates the refugee center in the hilltop town of Caltagirone. He says when the boys arrive, their mental health is terrible. They have been traumatized. To many of the boys, Danielle Catugno is a father figure. They often come to him with questions and seek his advice. He says very few of them know what steps to take next. So Mr. Catugno talks to them about their futures, their needs, and dreams. The boys are free to come and go. They can leave the shelter if they wish, but many choose to stay. The boys want to find out if they will be resettled by the Italian government. Resettlement means they can start rebuilding their lives. A boy from Gambia named Shido says he is thankful for the help. But he adds he wants to move on. The boys' standing as unaccompanied minors gives them a better chance of being permitted to stay in Europe. Until that decision is made, this hilltop home offers safety and an opportunity to stop a while on their journey to find a better life. I'm Jonathan Evans.
After a short break, we will return with a story about a woman who is being called the Angel of the Migrants.
Welcome back to As It Is. We just heard a report from Italy on the migration of refugees from North Africa. These migrants face a dangerous trip when they sail across the Mediterranean Sea. They reach land only to face an unknown future in Europe. On the Italian island of Sicily, there is an activist ready to help the refugees. She lives in the city of Catania. The woman is known to some as the Angel of the Migrants. Anna brings us another of Henry Ridgewell's stories.
Among the crowd of Syrian refugees in Catania station, it is the number of children that is striking. There are babies just a few weeks old. These Syrians have fled civil war, and they have spent up to 20 days at sea in an old fishing boat. For the migrants arriving in Catania, there is at least one friendly face waiting for them. Nawal Sufi is a Moroccan-Italian woman. She is known as the Angel of the Migrants. Ms. Sufi and her friends offer baby food and clothes to the new arrivals, along with words of advice. She says to them, "I love you all. You are my family. God bless you, and may you achieve your dreams." Nawal Sufi is part of a network of activists helping migrants in Italy. Ms. Sufi says she helps the migrants so she can feel like a human being when she returns home at night. But not all those fleeing Syria are lucky enough to reach Italian waters. Earlier this month, up to 900 migrants died when their boat sank off Libya. Ms. Sufi says she is angry at Europe's inaction, and she asks some hard questions. How is it possible that Europe cannot guarantee a humanitarian passage from Syria? And why cannot each European country take a share of these migrants? Nawal Sufi goes to the train station to say goodbye to the migrants when they leave for Milan. She urges them to be strong. She will return the next day, ready to help another wave of migrants arriving on this corner of Europe's southern shores. I'm Anna Mateo.
Don't go away. Coming up next is a new Words and Their Stories program written by Anna Mateo. It will teach you a new word that many Americans may not know yet.
And to complete the 30-minute Learning English broadcast, we will air a 15-minute show on a beloved American singer, dancer, and actor, Mr. Fred Astaire.
Coming up, more programs designed for English learners. You can read and listen to our reports and download MP3s at learningenglish.voanews.com. You can learn with us on Facebook, Twitter, and YouTube at VOA Learning English.
Now, the VOA Learning English Program, Words and Their Stories. Different people have different ways of saying things, their own special expressions. Each week, we tell about some popular American expressions. What you are listening to is a call for help. It is the Morse code distress signal, SOS. For years, telegraph operators used Morse code to communicate across the country and around the world. A skilled operator could send and receive 30 or 40 words a minute. In the language of Morse code, the letter S is three short dots, and the letter O is three long dashes. Put them together, and you have SOS. These sounds represent the international call for help because they are easy to recognize. Now, it is simply known as SOS. But many people think that SOS stands for Save Our Ship or Save Our Souls. It does not. SOS has come to mean that because of how we use it, when we need to be saved, as when a ship is sinking. SOS is an example of a new, if somewhat unofficial, word in the English language. We call it a backronym. A backronym is a combination of two words, backward and acronym. An acronym is an abbreviation, a shorter version of a long word or expression. For example, the word SCUBA is an acronym. It stands for Self-Contained Underwater Breathing Apparatus. But SCUBA is so much easier to say. Backronyms, on the other hand, are built in the opposite way. They are made by creating a phrase or expression for an already existing word or acronym. For example, the United States Department of Justice recently gave new meaning to its Amber Alert program. Now, Amber officially stands for America's Missing Broadcast Emergency Response. But the program was originally named for Amber Hagerman, a 9-year-old girl who was kidnapped and murdered in Texas in 1996. Sometimes, backronyms come from outdated language. Writing CC at the end of a document once meant carbon copy. Before computers and email, people would often make a carbon copy of a letter they sent on official business. These days, we often send electronic copies of letters by email, not carbon copies. So, CC is now a backronym that means courtesy copy. Americans often use backronyms as jokes. For example, NASA, the U.S. space agency, named a treadmill on the International Space Station after the television personality Stephen Colbert. The agency created the name Combined Operational Load-Bearing External Resistance Treadmill to spell out the name Colbert. Who says scientists lack a sense of humor? Do not worry if you have never heard of backronyms. Many Americans have not either. The earliest known use of backronym appeared in the Washington Post in 1983. The newspaper asked readers to send in a new word. Editors picked Meredith G. Williams as the winner with her word backronym, spelled with or without a K. She defined backronym as the same as acronym, except that the words were chosen to fit the letters. And that brings us to the end of this Words and Their Stories program. I'm Anna Mateo. Anna could be a backronym for another newscaster named Anna. Thank you.
People in America, a special English program about famous Americans of the past. Today, Harry Monroe and Kay Gallant tell the story of dancer and movie star Fred Astaire.
The year is 1932. The United States is suffering the greatest economic depression in its history. Jobs are hard to find. One young man is attempting to get a job dancing in the movies. Earlier, he and his sister had made a short film showing how they danced and sang. A motion picture company official watches the film. He writes this about the young man. Can't act, can't sing, slightly bald, can dance a little. Even with this poor report, the young man still gets a job in the movies. And in time, his acting, singing, and dancing changed the American motion picture musical. His name was Fred Astaire.
I wanna be free as any bird can be. Yes, sirree. Gonna leave my footsteps on the sands of time. If I never leave a dime, a dancing man with footsteps on the sands of rhythm and rhyme.
Fred Astaire was born in the middle western city of Omaha, Nebraska, in 1899. He was the second child of an Austrian beer maker, Frederick Austerlitz, and his wife, Anne Galeas Austerlitz. Fred and his sister Adele learned to dance when they were very young. Their mother took them to New York to study dance. They performed in their first professional show when Fred was 10 years old and Adele was 12. Later, as teenagers, the two danced in many shows throughout the United States. Their first big success was on Broadway in 1917. One critic wrote that Fred danced as if he had no bones.
The Astaires, as they were known, quickly became Broadway stars. During the 1920s, they sang and danced in 11 different shows. They also performed in England. In 1932, Adele Astaire married a British man and stopped performing. Critics had always considered her a better dancer than her brother. But Fred did not give up. He would go on alone in the movies. Many years later, in the film The Bandwagon, he played a man in a similar situation.
I'll try to apply myself and teach my heart how to sing. I'll go my way by myself, like a bird on the wing. I'll face the unknown. I'll build a world of my own. No one knows better than I myself. I'm by myself alone.
One of Fred's first films was called Flying Down to Rio. It was in this movie that he first danced with a young woman named Ginger Rogers. Fred and Ginger were not the stars of the picture, but when they danced this dance, the carioca, everyone knew that something important was happening in the world of movie dancing.
Now that you've done the carioca, you'll never care to do the polka. And then you realize the blue hula and bambula are through. Tomorrow morning you'll discover you're just a karaoke lover. And when you dance it with each new love, there'll be true love just for you. You will dream of the new karaoke. Its theme is a kiss and a sigh. Oh yes, you'll dream of the new karaoke. When music and lights are gone and we're saying goodbye.
Fred Astaire and Ginger Rogers made 9 movies together. Their dancing was considered, and still is considered, the best ballroom dancing in the world. Dance critic Arlene Croce wrote, "Astaire and Rogers became the most popular team the movies have ever known. Their dancing was a vehicle of serious emotion between a man and a woman. It never happened in the movies again." Many great American songwriters wanted to write songs for Fred and Ginger. Among them were Jerome Kern, Irving Berlin, Cole Porter, and George and Ira Gershwin. They liked the way Fred sang a song. He did it simply, with respect for the words. One of these songs was Cole Porter's Night and Day. Fred sang it to Ginger in the movie The Gay Divorcee.
Day and night, why is it so that this longing for you follows wherever I go? In the roaring traffic's boom, in the silence of my lonely room, I think of you. Night and day, night and day, under the hide of me, there's an oh such a hungry yearning burning inside of me, and its torment won't be through till you let me spend my life making love to you day and night, night and day.
Fred Astaire made 40 other films. In addition to Ginger Rogers, he danced with many other talented women: Rita Hayworth, Eleanor Powell, Judy Garland, Sid Charisse, Leslie Caron. Fred also danced alone in some very unusual places. He danced up walls and on the ceiling in the film Royal Wedding. He danced on rooftops in The Belle of New York. He danced on roller skates in Shall We Dance? And he danced with firecrackers exploding at his feet in Holiday Inn.
Fred Astaire made all this look easy, but it was not. Critics have said his technical skill was the greatest in the history of the movie musical. He said, "Dancing is a sweat job. You cannot just sit down and do it. You have to get up on your feet. It takes time to get a dance right, to create something memorable. I always try to get to know my dance so well
that I do not have to think what comes next. Everything should fall into line, and then I know I have got control of the floor.
Before each movie was filmed, Fred Astaire and his partner worked for as many as 6 weeks to plan each step and movement. He also planned how the cameras would photograph them, so that as much dancing as possible could be filmed at one time. Earlier, movie directors had photographed dancers showing one part of their body at a time as they danced. Fred would not permit this. He wanted moviegoers to see his whole body at all times, and he would not permit any camera tricks to make his dancing appear smoother or faster than it was. In 1949, Fred Astaire won a special award for his film work from America's Motion Picture Academy. He also won awards from the television industry for a number of his television programs.
Fred stopped dancing in 1970. He was more than 70 years old at the time. He said a dancer could not continue dancing forever. He said he did not want to disappoint anyone, even himself. He danced again in public only once after that. It was with another great male dancer, Gene Kelly, in the movie That's Entertainment, Part 2. Fred did not always appear as a dancing man. He had a dramatic part in the movie On the Beach in 1959, and he starred in a non-dancing television series called It Takes a Thief.
Fred Astaire and his first wife, Phyllis, raised 3 children. Phyllis died in 1954. 25 years later, Fred married racehorse rider Robin Smith. Fred Astaire died on June 22, 1987. He was 88 years old. He was called the greatest dancer in the world. His dancing was called perfect. And moviegoers everywhere will remember him as a great performer whose work will live forever in his films.
I wanna be a dancing man while I can. Gonna leave my footsteps on the sands of time. If I never leave a dime, never be a millionaire, I don't care.
You have been listening to People in America, a program in special English on the Voice of America. This program was written by Nancy Steinbach. Kay Gallant and Harry Monroe were the narrators. I'm Shirley Griffith.